one of uncertainty. That's what it, and I mean on all fronts. I'm not even talking about the team building aspect of the Cubs. I mean with his own future too, which to me is maybe the most interesting part about what we heard in the hour and 4 minutes that he talked yesterday. That you have a guy that's being introspective right now that I'm sure is looking at it and going, what's the 48, right? 48 years old. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there looking, going, do I want to keep doing this? And do I want to keep doing this here? And can I do the job the way that I want to do it here? I think those are all fair questions for him to ask himself.
He just didn't sound like himself. He didn't sound the way he usually sounds. And I think part of it, too, again, is like you're on Zoom. You got a piece of cloth covering your face, and so much isn't normal. It was just noticeable to any of us who have heard these various and sundry long, especially end of season press conferences, that he sounded like someone who doesn't, there's a lot of things right now he doesn't know. And it's got to be very uncomfortable to try to make big picture decisions, to try to flowchart everything they do with so many questions about money and about what the entire season is going to look like. And frankly, what players are worth now. We don't know.
What do you think of the idea of using 2020 to make your judgments on players?
No. I don't. The only reason why it's more tempting to do that with the Cubs is because these 60 games and the postseason performance were in line with what happened in previous years. And it's very easy to do that, but it may just be the smartest thing to do is throw this year out completely because of everything involved.
I've been thinking about that too on what, because I mean, there are some choices and decisions that have to be made. Well, I guess they don't have to be made, but you would prefer that those decisions get made. And how do you go about looking at this with clear eyes and saying, okay, what of 2020 was of value for the Cubs? From a hitting perspective, it's clear that they need to find a different way. And I do wonder if in a bigger conversation, and it'd probably be people that are smarter than you and I that cover baseball that could help us with this, but in a bigger conversation, do we need to see change in the way that offenses are constructed? And how do you go about making that change and finding those players? And I wonder, when I listen to Theo, if that's part of the calculation that's going on in his head. Like looking at his team and going, we need to diversify offensively, or we need to find the next way to find the inefficiency in offensive baseball.
Well, that was Nicholas Castellanos. I mean, they did that. They did that with the Castellanos trade, and then they just couldn't afford to keep him. And they knew, and they articulated he could hit the high fastball, and they didn't have enough guys who could hit the high fastball, and he was their only guy who could hit the high fastball. And then they let him go, and they wonder why that they don't have anybody who can really do it anymore except for Ian Happ. And you brought something up that's interesting too. It's not so much in a vacuum. It isn't how do the Cubs view 2020 as an evaluation period, is how do they view it relative to every other team in the league? Because if you're talking trades, unless all teams are throwing it out, there may be some teams that think they have an advantage in the market because of something their analysts saw in this sample that's meaningful to them. No two teams are going to look at it in exactly the same way, and maybe you evaluate it differently from one player to the next, or maybe you look at a starting pitcher differently than you do a position player, but people may win some what appear to be lopsided trades or lose lopsided trades this offseason because of the uncertainty.
No doubt about it. And it's, man, I mean, I know that he's pretty honest when it comes to those postseason. I always look forward to those because I feel like I learned some baseball hearing him talk. I'd love to be in a moment where I could talk with him even more honestly and openly about how he views this team. I'd love to know what he's really thinking about it. And it's not like he was playing cloak and dagger stuff yesterday. He was saying that their offense is not good and they have to figure out ways to do it. But I'm just sitting here going, huh, How do you revamp all of this? Like, you bring, let's say you bring in DJ LeMahieu. Does that make you better? Can you play the OBP home run game when you have guys now that are missing fastballs that are like Chris Bryant, for example, that aren't squaring up fastballs the way that you want? Can you view them as the same type of player that you had evaluated that they would be at this point in their career with the data that we have from the last couple of seasons? Like, the whole thing is really, really exciting for the change that could come. And I'm sure frustrating for everyone over there that's like, do we have enough time to maximize the guys that we're going to keep on our roster and still win? Or do we have to start the process of starting over? And that takes me all the way back to Theo going, do I want to do that? Like what you said, Dan, where I identify a player that can help us offensively. He does help us offensively. And now I'm the Cubs and I can't afford to extend that player and keep him in my lineup. Do I have to completely change strategy on how to build a team going forward?
Especially had they known they were going to have the DH. You know, that's
right.
That's the kind of thing where you say, well, we don't have a spot for him in the outfield. Well, you didn't need a spot for him in the outfield, and it's certainly a different offense if you even add in a projection for what his numbers would have been. We can play pie-in-the-sky games, you know, all day with this, but it's they know that this is, that the core, as we know it, one way or another, I don't know how we're going to get there, but one way or another, that we have seen the last of the championship core.
I think that's possible. I'm going to explore that today. I'm going to talk about that. There's some good Theo cuts that I want to get into. I'm also going to celebrate baseball because I didn't really have a chance. Like, I was on the air Friday. Monday was pretty much all Bears. I want to talk about like what viewing was like for us this season and what it was like on both sides of town. So I threw it out on Twitter. And people can hit us up on the text line, too. Something that you really, really enjoyed about the 2020 baseball season and something that has to change for your team in 2021. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to do some Bear stuff. You had some stuff with Sage Rosenfels that I didn't get to yesterday, and I promise you that I'm going to get to it today because I think that it is important and relevant. I will see you tomorrow around the same time, Dan.
Very cool, Lawrence. See ya.
That is Dan Bernstein. He hosts every day from 9 a.m. until noon. I'm Lawrence Holmes. I host every day from noon until 2. Herbie, after we let you know that this hour is being brought to you by the Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago, let's go!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
You have a quick turnaround against a team that's probably better than you on Thursday after not scoring points. And not scoring points outside of the Atlanta game, as Biggs brought up. Sure, you put 30-plus on the Falcons, but we all know what they're about. And in other games against defenses that aren't as good, you struggle to score points. You've had to rally to score points at the end. You've had to, whether a team was in prevent, which the Falcons were, or you were scrambling against a guy with a really high degree but seems to doesn't have any common sense in Matt Patricia, you had to rally against him because he was too silly enough to play zone, too proud. And let me just real quick take an aside. I know that Detroit is not my purview, but for this man to come up here and talk about all the hard work that he had to do when he came into Detroit, realizing that Jim Caldwell had a bunch of 9-win seasons and an 11-win season and taking the team to the playoffs, the grift is strong in Matt Patricia.
Make me a bicycle clown!
It is strong, and it gets stronger every single day. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We've got a lot of cool stuff set for you today. Josh Nelson, Sox machine, is going to join me at 12:40. We're going to talk with him about the White Sox. I hope to talk with you about the White Sox. Mark Grote is going to join me at 1 o'clock. You know, when Grote is on, we talk about Bears. So we're going to do that at 1 with him as the Bears now get ready to take on Tampa, and that's going to be the Thursday night game, and we're going to talk about that and get prepared for it. There's some baseball stuff that I want to do. Welcome to everyone who is watching on the Twitch stream. If you're on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Alexa, play 670 The Score. I like doing that because it just happens and you end up listening to the show, and I'm here for you listening to the show. So Alexa, play 670 The Score in people's houses while they're doing everything that they want to do. Here's what I'd like to talk about. I want to talk about the end of the baseball season. And don't worry, the conversation that Dan and I had about Theo Epstein, we're going to explore it a little bit more later on in the show. But I want to speak specifically to you, the Cub and the White Sox fan, about the 2020 season. I got to tell you, I had more fun in this season than I thought I was going to have. At the beginning of the season, it just felt like MLB had gotten so much stuff wrong, and that the idea that a season would even be completed was, think about what we were all going through after we heard about what happened with the Marlins. Think about what we were all going through when you heard that what was going on with the Cardinals and COVID, and you're thinking, man, there's no way that they can make this work. And they ended up making it work. I don't know if it's just because of the pandemic and trying to spend more time at home and being responsible in that way that I found myself as engaged in a baseball season as I've ever been. It only being 60 games for the White Sox allowed for that. And, you know, I was doing other stuff. Like, I was doing all the stuff, the LoHo recaps on Twitter, and I wanted to make sure that if I was doing those recaps that I would be responsible for watching all of the games and not just making stuff up. It became a routine for me. It became the routine of, okay, what time are the White Sox on? What time are the Cubs on? Let me make sure that whatever it is that I have done, that I need to get done, gets done. And then I can move on and relax into watching the game, even though in a lot of cases the games caused me stress. And I mean good stress. Like, there was some good stress that was going on in watching White Sox baseball for me. When it comes to the 2020 season for them, I'm very thankful about them reaching their potential. And I know it feels awful the way that it ended. It really does. And that game was an example of all of the things that we were all worried about when it came to the White Sox. You're like, oh, you don't have a guy that could actually start game three. What do you do? And everyone was just kind of like, we'll just see what happens once we get there. Don't worry about it now. Let's just see what happens when we get to game three. And then you get to game three, and it was everything that all of us feared. Like, the whole, it was like, okay, let's start this guy. Let's panic and let's pull him out of the game. Let's bring in the new arm that we're super excited about. Oh no, he's hurt. How are you going to cover all these innings with a bullpen that's not had a lot of experience in the postseason? And you see guys like Matt Foster, who had pitched well all season long, just disintegrate onto the mound as they walk the yard. They just walk it, and they allow the Oakland A's to beat them. And I'm sure that on Friday, Cubs fans were saying the exact same thing. The way that they lost was emblematic of the way that they had played throughout the season, where it's a lineup where if they're hitting home runs, you feel comfortable that they can win. You get pitching performances that are good enough for you to win, and you can't put enough runs on the board to be competitive. And what's really terrifying about the way that game and series ended was you never felt, I didn't, maybe it was different for you, I never felt like they had a chance. Down two runs, I was like, it's over. And that's not good. And I think that plays a role into how the Cubs go about trying to rebuild themselves, how they go about trying to change the way that offense is going to be played on the north side. And I'm not sure how you do it. I'm not sure that you can do it in one offseason. And that's what I was saying with Dan, where I'm sitting here watching Theo Epstein and the calculus that's going on in his head. I'm sure he's wondering, is my team a contender right now? Is it just something where I can add a very special free agent or make some sort of a trade that jumpstarts what we do offensively? Or am I looking at a shift in the way that baseball is played? I'll go back to something that Joe Maddon said, and I know his team didn't even come close to making the playoffs. I do think that there's something to what Joe was saying when he talked about that now that the entire industry has zigged, it's important to find the places and franchises that zag. Some of it, though, is within your control. And I think that David Ross went a long way in trying to make the Cubs a more complete team. I look at the Tampa Rays, and I go, there's an organization that gets it. They don't make a lot of mistakes out in the field. They don't have a lineup full of terrible at-bats. Like, they get it. And I know that they got bombed last night by the Yankees. But my point is that they give themselves a chance to win, and they ain't got no money. And then you see what that looks like on a grand scale with the Dodgers. And you go, oh, if you do all this cool stuff and then you're able to add as much as you want, then you have a dynasty-type team like the Dodgers have been in the National League West. The Cubs should be closer to what the Dodgers are versus what the Rays are. But it felt like over the last couple of years, they've been operating more like the Rays without all of the buttoned-up baseball stuff that the Rays do. So can they play that way? I'm not sure. Anyway, the idea of this topic that I want to do, and I threw it out on Twitter, I want to talk with you about it. I want you to give me a little bit of both. I want you to look at your team, and I want you to look at the 2020 season. I want you to tell me something that you really, really liked about the 2020, not the franchise. I don't need like a history lesson on the Cubs or the White Sox. I'm talking about right now. What happened in this past season? Give me one thing that you really liked and one thing that in your heart, in your core, you know has to change if they're to get better in 2021, whether you're a Cubs person or a White Sox person. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number. You can call in if you want. If you prefer, you can text this. It's the same number. I can see every now and again I check in on the Twitch. So if you're on the Twitch stream and you want to offer something, feel free to do that. The Twitch stream, by the way, if you are on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. I'm going to take a break. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball. We're going to talk about the good of this season, and we're going to talk about the bad of this season for you. We will do that next here on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period.
With Olin Kreutz, this egregious penalty with Cordero Patterson taking his helmet off.
It's extremely frustrating, especially for a veteran. And obviously you ask him, what the hell are you doing? But look, the effort that guy gives on every play, you can't argue with all that stuff. So he has to be smarter than that.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
1-877 Cars for Kids, KARS Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Donate online at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K.
Pickup is quick and easy. You'll get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car.
also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
No matter where you live, you're somebody's neighbor. And here, that means we help each other. We